I was trying to figure out how to work the next little bit into the actual episode. I couldn't figure it out. So instead of cutting it entirely or leaving it as like a little special bonus at the end, I'm going to do it right up top so everyone's forced to listen to it. You might be wondering, sometimes people wonder, what's it like inside the head of Phil? And let me tell you, let me explain something to you. I was setting up to do this show, and my computer had to do an update, or one of my programs had to do an update. So I click on the update, and it's taking a little bit, a tiny bit longer than I think it's going to take. And I start muttering to myself about it, alone in this room, by myself. I start muttering to myself, come on, come on. And then finally I said, well, I guess I can wait forever, or something like that. What I said specifically doesn't matter, because it immediately put into my head the song I Can Wait Forever by Air Supply, featured prominently on the 1984 soundtrack to the movie Ghostbusters. I Can Wait Forever by Air Supply, which then got me thinking about the soundtrack to the movie Ghostbusters, which then got me thinking about which bands are featured on the soundtrack to the movie Ghostbusters. And we have your obvious ones, your Ray Parker Jr.'s, your Air Supplies, your Thompson Twins, Laura Branigan's on there. Of course, Elmer Bernstein is on there. And Ray Parker Jr. is represented twice. They have the Ghostbusters theme, but then at the end of the soundtrack, they have the Ghostbusters instrumental version, which was probably the first karaoke track I ever owned as a child. And you better believe it, I did sing along to it quite a few times. But that's not the point I was going to make. The point I was going to make is I was looking at the track listing of the Ghostbusters soundtrack, and I was like, hey, the song Saving the Day. Saving the day, saving the day, when it gets to the point where it's driving you insane. Lyrics I know because for some reason I had a rudimentary knowledge of the way music worked when I was a kid. I knew how to read a scale. Basically, I'd paid enough attention in music class in elementary school and started taking clarinet when I was in junior high, and begged my mother for sheet music, a lot of sheet music, of anything I found intriguing. And I still own the sheet music collection, the book of the soundtrack to Ghostbusters, which has all the songs, as well as a couple of Elmer Bernstein tracks, as well as just stuff you could never imagine wanting to own the sheet music to. But I own the sheet music to Saving the Day by Alessi. I own the sheet music to Magic by Mick Smiley. But I know these songs. I know the words to these songs. I was looking at Saving the Day. I was like, Alessi, what else has Alessi done? So I clicked on Alessi, and then I was like, wait a minute. So in Alessi's bio, it mentions that Alessi were twins, Billy and Bobby Alessi, and they're from Long Island. They were born in 1954 on Long Island. They had a big hit in 1977 called Oh Lori. That's beside the point. But I was like, hey, Alessi are twins. However, on the same album, we have the Thompson Twins. And I shouldn't have to tell you this, but the Thompson Twins, not twins. Right. They are named after Thompson and Thompson from the Tintin comics. So on the Ghostbusters soundtrack, we have twins creating music who aren't twins, and twins referred to as twins creating music who are not twins. I just want to say that I've never known anything about Alessi. If I look at their picture, I would assume that they were not from Long Island. They look like typical new wave singers from the early 80s. Just two guys from Long Island. Any listeners out there from Long Island, what are your thoughts on Alessi? Are they like the Billy Joel of Long Island? Let me know. That's my answer. If you're ever wondering what it's like to live inside my head. Oh, this week's book is about teachers. That's all I got. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are covering another book in the Hardest Stone series. The books of hard knocks, but not hard knocks like a hard knock life kind of hard knocks, but literally books that if you knock on them, they are very hard. Yes, the next book in the series, following up on World's Best Mama Bear, World's Wisest Papa Bear, World's Wisest Mama Bear, World's Greatest Papa Bear, whatever it was called, is World's Number One teacher. The Berenstain Bears, world's number one teacher for an unbearably awesome teacher. And this is a book, I thought it was a good time to cover this one because kids are going back to school. I already have friends whose kids have gone back to school. One of my kids has a full-time job, like a career. The other kid is starting school in a couple of weeks. In Minnesota, we tend to, I think they start school right before Labor Day now, or is it after Labor Day now? I can't remember. It used to be after Labor Day because it was only allowed to start after the state fair was over, but now, like, I don't know what they do anymore. She'll start going to school at some point, and I'll be like, where's Mitzi? And then I'll be like, oh, that's right, she started school. And then I'll grow old, and then I'll die. But this week's book, The Berenstain Bears, world's number one teacher, is exactly like the other books. It is just a bunch of vague platitudes that talk about the teachers. I don't have to keep holding the book up. I'm holding the book up. I don't have to keep holding it up because I can just switch to the camera angle where you can see the book cover. There it is. There it is. World's number one teacher. Hey, Phil, you're probably asking yourself. Hey, Phil, my man. Hey, Phil, what year is this from? Why, this book is from 2025. This year, we are covering a this year book. World's number one teacher. Once again, it has got a to and from page at the very beginning. The end page is not the color of a teacher, though. Just sort of green. I think it's supposed to be the color of like an old school chalkboard. Dark, like sort of dark green. It could be a color of an old school pool table. Not sure. If you were a teacher, after school, did you go to the local Watton Hole, chug down a few brewskis and shoot some pool? Huh? Were you a regular pool shark? Pool sharp? Card sharp? Did you shoot some baskets? Did you shoot anyone? Have you ever shot anyone? If you were a teacher, let me know. Put your answers in the comments. So again, this is I don't know what it means to be unbearably awesome. Like she's so awesome. She's so awesome. I have a migraine at the end of the day. She's so awesome. I can't. It's overwhelming at this point. It's not pleasant. It's a terrible thing. How awesome she is, or he is. They are your teacher, because this book isn't just about one person. Like the last books were about a mama or a papa. This is about a teacher, and it says world's number one teacher. But as we're going to see, it gives some examples across the spectrum of Berenstain Bear teachers. And by across the spectrum, I mean the two teachers we know of that have a number of illustrations. Probably because there aren't as many illustrations of Teacher Jane and Teacher Bob as there are of Mama and Papa Bear to pick from. But that also will show you that because of that, they dip a lot further into the past for the illustrations. In fact, the first illustration in this book, so we have world's number one teacher. The first illustration in this book is from the Berenstain Bears go to school. It's Sister Bear meeting Teacher Jane for the first time. And then I'm gonna read you, as I've done in each one of these episodes, I'm gonna read you the whole book. We'll see how long it takes me. All right, I'm gonna time myself just to be on the up and up. Here we go, and starting now. Dear teacher, from the very beginning, you've always made me feel welcome. You turn each day into a new adventure. Your enthusiasm for learning is contagious. You encourage me to be creative and chase my dreams. You help me focus when I get distracted so I can reach new heights. You even keep things calm when things feel out of control. You make me want to learn more so I can live my best life. I've learned more from you than you will ever know, and for that I want to thank you very much. 34 seconds. It's a 34-second read. You can get through it pretty quickly. But our first picture, dear teacher, from the very beginning, you've always made me feel welcome. Totally relatable, because that's what this book is about. Like the original book, the Go to School book, is about. And as I've said on the show before, in kindergarten, Mrs. Lukenhoff, God bless her, I don't know if she's dead, God bless her, Mrs. Lukenhoff read us the book, The Berenstain Bears Go to School, near the beginning of the year. I remember this vividly, because she chose to tell us the title as if the words, The Berenstain Bears, were simply branding and not part of the title. So she said, and I quote, today we are going to read a book called, and she held it up, called Go to School. And I knew the book. very well and was like muttering to myself, it's called the Berenstain Bears go to school. It's not just called go to school. It's not a command. In any case, the Berenstain Bears did go to school. So one of the earliest first-time books was a book about this very subject, meeting an awesome teacher. And I'll talk a little bit more about awesome teachers as we get into it. But you always made me feel welcome. That's like, and it's a picture of her meeting teacher. And the next page, you turn each day into a new adventure. Also a spread from the Berenstain Bears Go to School, because we have the incredible lumps of clay at the desks in the kindergarten. And all the little cubs being introduced to the classroom. Cubs we will never hear from again. Don't know who any of these kids are. They go nameless throughout the rest of this book. But we have this incredible kindergarten class. Almost sort of Montessori-ish, the way this thing is laid out. Not quite as organized as a Montessori classroom, but it's a very hands-on kindergarten class. Like, my kindergarten class had round tables, but it was very much like, go sit in your desk and go sit in your chair and wait till I tell you what to do. Much more like that. You turn each day into a new adventure. Your enthusiasm for learning is contagious. And here we have a picture of Teacher Bob teaching a math lesson. 96 divided by 3 equals... And then it's 3 goes into 96. Oh, I see. He's showing you how to do it long division wise. I see. I got really confused for a second. I don't look at math very often. So it says 96 and the division sign, and then 3 equals. And then he's showing you 3 going into 96. 3 goes into the 9 3 times. 3 goes into the 6 2 times. 96 divided by 3 is 32. Thank you, Teacher Bob. Good thing there's no remainders. Good thing 96 is a multiple of 3, or else this would have been a much longer problem. His enthusiasm for learning is contagious. What a nice thing to say about Teacher Bob. We do enjoy Bob. That's it. Those are the only pictures that are. Again, this book is not available in digital format, so I'm going to have to show you the rest of these or talk about them extensively. You encourage me to be creative, and then we have a picture of Sister Bear being creative, painting a picture of the bear's treehouse with Teacher Jane looking on admiringly, staring at her. Oh boy, she's painting this beautiful picture of the bear. It is a pretty cool picture of the bear's treehouse, by the way. But you encourage me to be creative and chase my dreams. We have a picture from the Berenstain Bears Get Stage Fright where... The bears, I don't know. It's funny that this is the picture used for And Chase My Dreams, simply because, like, that's not the Cubs' dream. None of the Cubs dream of being an actor. I don't think any other Cubs have listed actors. Singers, yes. Rap star, yes. And this is pre-Bonnie Brown, so I don't know where they get off saying these kids want to be theater performers. Don't chase that dream, kids, by the way. It'll all end in tears. You help me focus when I get distracted. And there's a picture of Brother trying to do his work, but he's fantasizing about playing soccer ball. It's very prescient to my life, because Mitzi is learning how to play soccer. She's part of the soccer team going into high school. And he's not fantasizing about playing soccer, by the way. He's fantasizing or daydreaming or thinking about Freddy playing soccer. I can't remember what this book is, but he's worried about Freddy scoring a soccer goal. But I took Mitzi to see a soccer game the other day. I went to a sport, and it was very fulfilling to spend time with my daughter, who I love very much and would do anything for, including sit through a professional soccer game. I guess also sit through an amateur soccer game, because that's what we're going to be doing. Going to be doing that quite a bit. So I can reach new heights. And it's Sister playing with blocks, stacking blocks up really high. A lot of pictures of Sister in kindergarten here, even though she hasn't been in kindergarten for many a year. So I can reach new heights. So you help me chase my dreams so I can reach new heights. You even keep calm when things feel out of control. And she's about to read the kids the book, The Three Bears. Sister's teacher. The kids are all kind of rambunctious, but they're not out of control. They're just being kindergartners. I don't understand where the idea. I guess there's not many Berenstain Bears pictures of a classroom that's out of control. That doesn't happen often in Bear World. You make me want to learn more. Now, here we have Teacher Bob showing some far more complicated multiplication. It's so complicated that he had to get another bear in to help. Actually, I don't think that's Teacher Bob. That's not Teacher Bob. That's, what is that? Is that actual factual? Who's dipped in to teach some complicated math? This is true line division. We have 48 divided by 4. 4 goes into 6 one time, but then it has, you know, like 2 left over. See, 2, then you lower, drop down the 8, so you have 28. 4 goes into 28 7 times. That's math. That's how it works. That's how math works. You make me want to learn more, is the sentiment there. So I can live my best life. And that's just a picture of the kids collecting tests. So I can live my best life. True, it's a good way to live a good life, is to just constantly learn more. I think the Bears have always been proponents of that. I've learned more from you than you will ever know. And for that, I want to thank you very much. And it's the kids all getting onto the school bus, presumably being driven by Gus, the school bus driver. And it ends with some blank end pages. Nice book, cute book, a good teacher gift, if I may say so. The reason I bring it all up, I mean, besides the fact that it's the book we're covering this week, is, again, in my show, I talked a lot about teachers. The show that I did for the Minnesota Fringe Festival talked a lot about teachers, mostly negative. It was a traumatic show about a traumatic time in my life, and me reflecting on that. But I do want to mention that I had a teacher who I did not appreciate at the time, but who was there for us and is still there for us. And I believe she is retiring this year. Her name is Allison Frost. She is a regular good old teacher, and she is retiring after, I believe, 40 years of teaching. Which is a long time to do anything in this world. She was a theater teacher who came in my junior year when our head teacher left, and his assistant stepped up into the head of the theater program. Allison came in as the sort of the tech guru, but also incredible director in her own right and incredible teacher, and her ability to work with young people is unsurpassed. And then the next year we got a new head teacher in, but Allison was still there. Incredible, a really great source of strength in a time when a lot of us were really falling apart. And not a source of strength in like a Dead Poet Society kind of way, not in this like self-consciously inspirational words of wisdom kind of way, but really simply by being there and treating us respectfully and understanding how damaged a lot of us were at the time. Just an incredible person, an incredible woman, an incredible friend. And now she is retiring after honestly, probably touching incredibly the lives of hundreds and hundreds of kids. So this episode is dedicated to her and her wife, who now get to live in retirement and explore the world, I guess. I don't know what you do when you retire. I'm never going to retire. I'll never be. I'm in debt up to my ears right now, and I see no way out of it. If you're interested in my Venmo, I can send it to you. Get me out of debt. So I'm meeting with a financial advisor on Thursday. It's a big problem. I can't control my spending. It's a symptom of my anxiety. I tend to spend money when I'm feeling anxious and don't usually check to see if I actually have the money I'm spending, and then it all snowballs, and then I can't get out from under it. It hasn't happened to me in a long time, but boy, oh boy. You know what that really helped with that? COVID. For some reason during COVID, I was not spending money, like especially in the beginning of COVID when we thought we were all going to die. I thought, I can't spend money. We don't know when the next anything's going to happen. So I had like a lot of savings then. And then over time I got more cash about it and then more relaxed and then stopped saving. So never going to retire. But Allison, this episode's for you. Number one teacher. You're awesome. I had some other incredible teachers, but when I think awesome teacher, and because I've been thinking about that time in my life quite a bit, she keeps springing to mind. So this buds for you, Alice. I don't know what else to say. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Winnie. World's number one teacher. Again, only available in hardbook format. You can't buy it in paperback or digitally, so because it's a gift. You don't buy it for yourself. You're not going to sit on the toilet and read this book. I did. But you're not going to sit on the toilet. It's not a book you're going to be like, let's read World's Number One Teacher again. I forget what happens in that. Like, oh, they like a teacher. That's what happens in it. No, but it's a good gift. These are good gift books. If you know a teacher who's also your father or mother, you can double up the gifts. So I don't. That's it. That's all I have to say. It's a good book. I like these books. They're just nice little gift books. Yeah, they're inexpensive. They, you know, you stick them on top of another gift if you want. Like they make they're hand sized books. Like they're not overwhelmingly large. They're cute, and the spine of this one looks like a ruler, which is delightful. So I don't think it's. I have a ruler in here. Yeah, let me see. I'm going to check and see if this ruler is... The ruler on the spine of the book, does it actually line up with... Is it accurate, I guess is what I'm saying. And the answer to that question is absolutely not. It is not accurate. Its inches are slightly larger. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm going to say, who knows what the measurement systems in Bear Country are like. Since measurement systems on Earth were all based on the sizes of our steps and the sizes of our hands, bear hands are bigger. So maybe an inch in Bear Town, Bear Country, Bear World is bigger than a human inch. I don't know. In any case, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this wonderful thing that I do called Deep in Bear Country. Keep listening, keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. Listen to the Ghostbusters soundtrack again. There's a lot of great stuff. We give a lot of credit to Ray Parker Jr. for his wonderful song Ghostbusters, but not enough credit to the Bus Boys for the song Cleaning Up the Town, a song on the soundtrack that, like the song Ghostbusters, is about the Ghostbusters. Like, it mentions the Ghostbusters quite a few times. It is prominently featured in the scene where they go down the fire. They get their first call. We got one! And she hits the button. Magic by Mick Smiley. It's the song that plays when the ghosts are let out of the containment unit. Boom, 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 boom. Please. Please, that song, except what you're getting in that is you're only getting the second half of Magic by Mick Smiley. Laura Branigan, the amazing Laura Branigan, singing Hot Night. It's going to be a hot night tonight. A song that plays at Lewis Tully's party, when he's having a party. It's just great. It's just great. So listen to the Ghostbusters soundtrack. You can skip the song Ghostbusters if it makes you think too much about Halloween, if you're not in the mood for that yet. And I'll see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.